Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastamavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Page 80. Okay. Sri Krishna continued, but the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify their loving devotion. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. Right? So that absorption in Krishna is so nice. Right? For both Krishna and the devotee, that Krishna wants to intensify that. So by then it seeming losing that position, then it intensifies and makes it even more important. Right? No?
Yes.
Yes.
We see on the level of bhava and prema, this is what happens. But before that, we've seen that devotees, they lost themselves because they felt there was no reciprocation from either Krishna or Guru side and like that. So it creates a lot of difficulties.
But then the thing is that you have, what about the taste? You see, the difference is because of the absorption, because of the connection to Krishna.
Yeah.
That's what makes, it means if we're saying here that difference, it's because of that absorption in Krishna. So then they can perceive that absorption in Krishna is special. So then in this case, then it's lacking the absorption in Krishna. Because even if it's not working, but are they absorbed in Krishna? Or they were absorbed in an alternatives that they feel may give a better result. Because otherwise, why would you give up a dynamic endeavor in Krishna consciousness for something unknown, right? So it has to be that they're absorbed in that, and only when they're confident in it, then they make that switch. Does that make sense?
Yeah. For many, it seems to be that they have the knowledge, but never gained the experience, the spiritual experience as such.
Yes.
So they run on that energy, but then it isn't there anymore. So without that experience, actual spiritual deep experience, people can't continue for a long time. Oh yeah.
I thought
he's sick.
He's sick. Okay. I was going to say it's not March yet. Okay. So. Yes, but that's the importance of association. Because we can see even in the gopis, the ones that didn't get the association didn't go to the rasa dance. Those that did, they went. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and then those who were in between, of those who were close enough, that just by that being stopped, it created that complete attachment to Krishna. When they start to compare the two, then they came to the point and were able to go. And the others then, you know, came to that point, but they won't go on this night, they're going another night. I think the acharyas mentioned that. So, this association is important because it's about associating. We see that middle aspect of Lord Chaitanya's, the Abhideya aspect of Lord Chaitanya's mission, then is the nourishment of the devotional creeper. Means you're attracting, you're inspiring, you're engaging people in Krishna consciousness. So that aspect, you know, is going on nicely. you know, to some, you know, different places, different trees, but the focus on trying to cultivate the devotees, not, you know, so they can preach better or so they can technically do something better, but just so that they appreciate and understand Krishna consciousness better and the practice of it, the value of it, the association of devotees, that's not being so much pointed out. You know, it's either we have the Sankirtan mission or sitting around in Raganuga Bhaktas. Right? You know, but the middle, the Abhideya, that one's left out. Because it's thought, oh, if I just preach, that's enough, and that's all that'll happen. But the point is Lord Chaitanya didn't just preach. He preached. But at the same time, he also associated with devotees and discussed the spiritual subject matters. Right? And the fun part is, you know, basically, you know, a great amount of devotees who've been around for a while, how you say, are in contact with this principle of Lord Chaitanya 30 times a day. You understand? But it's not caught that this is something important. Prabhupada in the principal purposes of ISKCON, that's one of the purposes, to bring all the devotees closer and to get them to feel more and be more attached to Krishna. It's one of the seven purposes. So there's to make people aware, train them in Bhagavad Gita, you know, make them aware of God consciousness, train them in the teachings of, you know, Gita and other literature so they understand the science. But then the third one is that to bring them closer to Krishna and closer to each other. So that one's not seen. So it's a very important part of the mission. Because it's thought, no, we make devotees so they can preach and make devotees. So, but how will they advance? By making more devotees. But what about discussing? No need for that. That's just a waste of time. That's sentiment. We just make devotees. But the point is yes, that's the Sambandha part. What about the Abhideya and Prayojana part? Because once they're devotees, then what do they do as devotees? Yeah, I mean, that's for how much of the day, right? Yeah. So there has to be parts where you're yourself understand, appreciate chanting, associating with devotees, taking prasad, things like that. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, why is there reading during prasad time? Some temples read during prasad. They read Chaitanya Charitamrita or something. Right? Now if the idea is taking prasad being sacred and we're associating with Krishna, then to avoid people talking nonsense, then we read like that, then you're getting the double. Right? But if it's just talking prajalpa's nonsense, therefore we're doing this, but there's no a point about the importance of prasad and that aspect, then even though it's a nice thing, they're missing out on association. Because when you take prasad, that's one of the times you associate with devotees. You know what I'm saying? You sit, talk nice. Now, if people don't know how, they just talk prajalpa, they have to be trained what it's for. And then if you have such individuals, then yes, put them in one room, read Chaitanya Charitamrita. In the next room, you have those devotees can sit and talk and interact.
That is discrimination. We tried that. This is very bad.
Yeah, and
taking, like, as an
but aren't you discriminating here?
Yeah.
So then why is your discrimination better than my discrimination? If it's all equal, then my discrimination should be given, you know, an equal standing to your discrimination. Why do you discriminate?
Because then it seems like this sangha is higher than this, but we are all on the same.
We're all the same level. Yes, that's very good. And so because of that, we're getting this strange thing that you as a senior devotee, you know, are getting the temple, getting an apartment, you're getting dental, and you're getting all that. And that's not being afforded to the brahmacharis and all that. So now, are we going to get apartments for all the brahmacharis? Are you going to come and live in the temple in the closet? Because we want to make everything equal here. You'll eat the same food as us. You'll do everything as us. You know, in fact, you'll be out on Sankirtan with us. You won't be sitting behind your computer. or give everyone a computer. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is these things are only used for political and economic reasons. They're not actually philosophically sound that the people do everything according to this. And if they do, there's something wrong with them. Right? I can't remember who said it. But they made the point, if when you're a young man, like a teenager and just growing up and just learning in college age, if you don't have socialistic ideas about, you know, this equity, fraternity, liberty, there's something wrong with you, he said. But when you turn 30, if you still have these things, there's something wrong with you. His other words, the young person should have that ideal, they should be looking, they should try to like this. Yes, nice. But if when they get to the point where they're actually taking responsibility and running things, that it doesn't work. So why would you think like that? So these kind of things is that I know that we have the soul, you know, has in the spiritual world, everyone's 16 years old and all that, but you know what I'm saying is we do have to move on from the 60s at some point. but what's the basis of making this thing is saying this is discrimination? On what basis? What authority?
My authority?
Yes, your authority, and you are...
temple president.
And that means...
everything.
I see. Okay. Then we're done. Okay. And you're saying that because as a temple president, equality doesn't that kind of get in the way? Because you're the president, you say it goes, so you discriminate that it's had to be the way you say. Right? So therefore, it's just a managerial tool that you use discrimination to get things done. Okay. As long as that's clear, then we're good. Okay. Yeah. Obvious. Yeah. So the thing is it's not based on Shastra. Because it's like everybody's equal. And the equalness is that everyone will be dealt with according to their need. Right? But if we say that everyone has to get the same treatment, that's not according to everyone's need. You know, that's like saying everybody's got to get cold medicine. No, if you have a cold, you get cold medicine. You have a fever, you get fever medicine. You have a bad stomach, you get stomach medicine. So everyone will get medicine. So everybody will get prasad in an environment in which they can be Krishna conscious. So, you want to be in this next room? Stop talking prajalpa. The prasad's the same. Like that, you know. So the whole point is there no such thing as people who are new, people who are unqualified, people who are untrained? Because if that's the case, if it's just like that, why are they discriminating by having their management meeting? Do they think they're superior to everyone else, that they're better than everyone else? Like that, why not let everybody come to the meeting? You know, it's all about the people, so let help the people come to the meeting. You know, why do you get a vote? They don't get a vote, right? So then why this discrimination? Why you're saying you're senior and they're junior? Why this discrimination? But when it comes to prasad, then we're making, now it's discrimination? You know what I'm saying? So it's not consistent. It's not based on scriptures. Right? It's just based on what works for them at the time according to their perspective. But the thing is we have to see what's the tradition? Because the tradition is everybody sits together and takes prasad and doesn't talk prajalpa. But some pleasant discussions that go on there. You know, I don't know what it is, but so many of the times when I'm in the West, you sit down to prasad and you're with devotees, especially if you're like a senior devotees or stuff like that. Not to say senior, but I'm just saying older devotees. They've been around 20 years, 30 years, you know. And somehow or another, they always talk about these most terrible things, you know. And I was at the hospital and this and that. And it's like, guys, it's prasad, you know. Or someone's talking about their diarrhea. It's like, that's just like, you know, it's like they have to. You're having this pleasant conversation. Then you go to the table, you sit down, and then it turns into this insanity. I don't know what it is. But So, therefore, those who do that, then they should be in the other room with the Chaitanya Charitamrita readings. And those who can carry on that same pleasant conversation, then they should sit together. You know? Or break it up into small groups, and you sit with whoever you like in these small groups. And that, if you want to talk Pajalpa, there's the Pajalpa group. You know? Yeah, you know, it's like you break it up into, because then it's easy to serve. You know, you have one person with those little tiffin things, and then however many people can sit around, five or six, and they serve there. Everybody gets the same thing. And then you have like that, and then it's nice. And they all get served nicely. They can all talk whatever they like to talk, and, you know. So the idea is that Krishna will reciprocate what will bring up to this, what will increase the quality of remembrance of him. But there has to be, you have to be making that endeavor to remember him. But you're making that endeavor, Krishna reciprocates very nicely. Right? So even if you've done a little something, he'll reciprocate with that. And he can reciprocate greater than what we've done. You know, that's why he's known as Hari. He can give 10 times what we're doing. But at the same time, he can take away 10 times. You know, so... You know. But with Balaram, you want to give up material desire, material attraction. That, then you have to make the endeavor. And then Balaram, seeing that you're trying to make the endeavor, then he will reciprocate with that. But we have to try. So the thing is that... That something goes wrong, and therefore we lose our enthusiasm. But where in the material world is there not that enthusiasm? I mean, not mistakes. Just like, okay, in the educational field, do we ever find educators are making some mistake? Right. What about political leaders? What about people in business? People in arts? You know, just regular guys down at the office, right? You know, all of them are having problems. So are we losing faith in all that? Right? Every day in the newspaper, there's problems in the modern culture. Are we losing faith in that? Like that. Does that make sense? But that's not happening. But if something happens in Krishna consciousness, we lose all that faith. So then the question is how much faith was there to begin with? But, you know, that's not an issue, because if there's anything, even a drop, then it's worth cultivating. But at the same time, is one has to be able to deal. So it's easy to blame everybody else if they had done this, if they had done that. But what about us if we had just had more faith? You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's not like they're on the battlefield, and as soon as the sergeant gets shot, then they all go, okay, that's it, we're all going home, you know, this is useless. You know, wave the white flag, say, yeah, you guys have it, and then walk off, you know. You know, so it's in everything you do, there's always somebody who's above you, someone who's just saying, there's a problem, it's the material world. So that has to be understood, as if we joined Krishna consciousness because the material world was bad. You know, it wasn't that we thought the material world was so great and we just are always associated with the best, and then we came across Krishna consciousness and it was even better than the best, so that's why we took up Krishna consciousness. You know, as we were discussing this morning, fear, material benefit, duty, or, you know, natural attraction to God. So the last two we can kind of drop off, and the first two is generally more of a standard attraction. And then from there, from doing that service, they should get the taste. How will they get the taste? That's by the proper association. So if they have that proper association, that's then how it will move forward. So if someone's is losing their faith in Krishna consciousness, it basically means they need more association. Now whether they're willing to take that is another thing. Some are, some aren't. The ones that are, generally that would mean that either the problems are less or they're more serious about Krishna consciousness. The ones that don't want to take the association, because by taking association, then they'll have to progress. And if they don't, they have an excuse. You know, does that make some sense? I can say, oh, the devotees, how can you be living on your own and not doing, you know, we don't see you anymore. Oh, because the devotee is this, devotee is that. That's easy enough to say. You can't say, no, but I'm too attached. I like this lifestyle. So then for that, it's an easy cover-up. Because they can say, oh, this one did this, or the temple president did that, or the guru did this, or the sannyasi did that, or... Yes, you can say that. But the point is that goes on everywhere. You know? Like that. They're buying a house, but how... means you can read on the internet how much scandal is going on in the retail, real estate, you know, like that. The inflated prices, what is there, what they said, you know, I mean, it's terrible. According to that, you should just go out and live. So if you go through everything, the only solution is retire to the forest, live under a tree there. Like that. You know, that's it. That's the only thing you can do and be true to yourself, that you're not getting involved in any of this other nonsense. But all it is they just go back to their particular condition nonsense, and they're quite happy with that, even if it's not working well at all. You know what I'm saying? Not trying to put the blame on anybody like this, but since we're talking about the individual's development in Krishna consciousness, therefore, that's why we're taking this view. Because this is not a leadership assembly where everybody here is a leader in the society, and therefore then we'd be talking about what's the responsibility of the leadership. Right? But since we're talking it's a general thing, then each individual can become Krishna conscious despite everyone else. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Since the nature of the soul is to be Krishna conscious, you can be Krishna conscious even if no one else is. If you want to be. But if you don't want to be, then there's plenty
despite
of...
Despite everybody else.
Yeah, despite everybody else being Krishna conscious, I am in Maya. Like, so it's just whichever... Because it ultimately comes down to desire. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada mentions that some people come to the Dham simply because it means... It's like you do an activity in the West that's nonsense. You know, the reactions are a little slow. You come to the Dham, it's 1,000 times. That means you can go to hell 1,000 times quicker. So they come here so they can actually degrade themselves so much faster. Like that, you know. So, you know, Krishna fulfills the desire. If you want a reason to leave, it's just like, okay, here in Mayapur, then you had one of the main gurus leave. And I don't think anybody left in Mayapur. We didn't lose one devotee. Nothing. But there are zones that the guru leaves and within 3 weeks there is no zone. Like that. So then, you know, so then it's just a matter of what do you want? You know? It's just a matter of that. You see the validity of Krishna consciousness, then so many people can come and go. Now Bhakta Jose leaves, it's, you know, everybody, oh, what happened, this, that. I mean, with us, over 3 months, the temple went for so full, you had to sleep on the stairs, literally. Two, there was plenty of place to sleep. So that means in 3 months, that many people would come and go. And then they'd come back, and then they'd go again, and they'd come, you know, like that. It was very fluid. And you just kept your determination in Krishna consciousness. So some would stick, some would go away, some would come back later.
Yeah. If you see a person that is used to be more serious in Krishna consciousness, I'm not talking about initiated devotees, just you know, but it still takes a few years.
Yes, yes.
And then they kind of, you have a bad association or whatever, but they kind of with the devotees and not with the devotees.
Mm-hmm.
Should it be more pushed for them?
You see, it's more of an encouragement with them. It's just if there's anything that they could do to be more involved, you'd have to think what's their nature, what's their position, what could they be involved in, and if by being involved in that would involve them more and inspire them, then you try. You know, so it's just a matter of what they want. Like that. You know, because it's individual. Everyone's an individual.
Do you think that can have the opposite effect, though, to kind of go the other way? Like, I'm thinking of, you know, where I come from, that there are certain people that kind of hang around, they're interested, and they get invited to, you know, do these retreats and lead the kirtan, and, the, you know, and it's sort of like they get, it's sort of like they're so included that there's no impetus to kind of go the next step.
No, but the point is you're exposing. And then from being exposed, then they get a taste. So, in other words, Bhakta Jose has been a bhakta for 20 years, hanging around, doing all the things and that. It just means that there's just not enough sukriti. It's not technically that there's anything wrong, because he's just like, the temples that you have nowadays are, you know, so much better than they were back in the 60s and 70s. You know, I mean, we joke about the knob on the shower is fallen off. It's on the side. When you want to use it, you stick it on and use it and put it back like that. Our temple, we didn't have a shower. There was a hose. Literally, there was a hose. You know, so the point is that it's so much nicer on one thing. But as far as that dynamic association, always being in association, that I could say was much stronger before. Because everybody was included, everything like that. And so by being there always, then they would come up. But it's just a matter of they're there. What's the discussion? What are they talking about? You know, is it about that personal development or is it just knowledge and skills? Because if it's just knowledge and skills, you can't expect anybody to move forward very much. But if it's about personal development and understanding, then you'll see us. Then they'll start to get together, because you can't have too much Krishna consciousness like that. There may be a point at which the living entity doesn't want to take any more. That's another thing. That's an individual choice. But the absorption in Krishna, because Krishna being the natural being everything and being the origin of everything. And the shelter of everything, then being absorbed in Krishna, it can never be a bad thing. So yeah. Did that work, or? Yeah? Srila Jiva Goswami writes, according to the gopis, because he enjoys various pastimes with them, he cannot be Atmarama, or Atmakama, footnote 29.
It's
Anatmakama. An Atmakama. Okay, not Anatmakama. Okay. An Atmakama is one who, though is interested in external enjoyment, has satisfied his desires and therefore does not want enjoyment from others. Right. So then Atmarama is satisfied in self, needs nothing from outside. And Atmakama is wants from outside but doesn't need that enjoyment from others. They'll arrange it themselves. Right? They'll go down and order their own, you know, salad. Like that. I'm independent. I order my own salad. Okay. Because he gives pain in separation, he cannot be the type of person mentioned in the previous verse that responds to those who reciprocate or not. Nor is he the first type who responds because of motives. Since he showed wisdom in his skill for answers, he is not a person who can be ignorant of others' loving actions. Thus he must be in the last category of Guru Druha, with hard heart for everyone regardless of the love. This is Sridhar Swami's explanation. First, they had concluded, so this is how the gopis are thinking, right? According to the gopis, right? So that's the point. So, that he's enjoying various pastimes, so he can't be an Atmarama or Atmakama. So self-satisfied. Mm-hmm. So that means that half of the third part doesn't work, right? And that because he gives pain, he cannot be the type mentioned that responds to those who reciprocate or not. Mm-hmm. Nor is the first type because of motive. So he's not the kind that always takes care, even though you're, you know, whatever, they don't deal with you because he's giving pain. He's not taking care. So he can't be the second type, like the parents or like the saintly persons. And he's not the first one because he has something to gain, he gives. So they're giving, he's not reciprocating with that because he's getting benefit. So that means he doesn't fit into any of the three categories, you know, as defined, except for the second half of the third category, which is he just is ungrateful and just doesn't care. Right? So that's their interpretation of it. First, they had concluded that he was simply ignorant, and with that in mind, asked the question. Now, however, they become satisfied at finding even greater fault as a result of his answer. Thus, they looked at each other with furtive glances and smiled. This is his explanation. Yeah, because they're thinking, okay, maybe he could fit into those, but then he starts answering them, they think, oh, that puts him in the worst category, right? You know, so then they're smiling at each other. Krishna continued, my dear girls, understanding that simply for my sake, you have rejected the authority of worldly opinion, of the Vedas and of your relatives, I acted as I did only to increase your attachment to me, right? Because attachment is there, then he increases that. If there's nothing there, then what's to increase? Then it's just what work you did, you get that result. It's paramatma. You do your karma, you get the result of that karma, not one bit more, not one bit less. But when you show attraction to him, then immediately he tries to increase that. Right? Because it's a matter of unlimited. We may think, oh, this is so much, but, you know, there's the volume of happiness that's there in prema is so great that it can't even be compared to anything here. So we just talk about it that it's, you know, the greatest. So, yeah. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings towards me, your beloved. Right? So this is one aspect also, as mentioned before, and the previous point, is that you control the others through love. Right? So it's only because they have love they can control. So these gopis being totally absorbed in Krishna, that technically can't happen unless he is loving them. Right? They're controlled by that. They even want to forget him. Remember that one point is that we want to forget you, but we can't. So that's, you know, makes it even worse, right? You know? So you know, you're not here, and so that's bad. Now you've come back, now you make it worse. Right? So this, how can they be controlled by this unless Krishna loves them? So that principle is the underlying. Just like he is controlled by them because of their love. That's why he has to come back. That's why he tries to increase. That's why he tries to balance everything so that they properly understand their relationship with Srimati Radharani. This? Yes?
So, can we say that only Krishna can establish that position of Srimati Radharani? Because between themselves, they can't work it out.
No, because it's above them. They can't. You can't see what's above you. You know what I'm saying? It's just like we can't tell our source. Right? It's only when it's explained, then we can see. And then that you know, just so, yes. So he has to establish. Because why would they listen to Radharani or why would they listen to Lalita and Vishaka? They could talk about it all day and they wouldn't care. Right? Like that. So it has to be established that it is. Okay. Even when I removed myself from your sight by suddenly disappearing, I never stopped loving you. Therefore, my beloved gopis, please do not harbor any bad feelings towards me, your beloved. Srila Prabhupada continues in Krishna book. My devotees are very much attached to me, but sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly in order to increase their love for me more and more. If I can very easily be approached by them, they might think, Krishna is so easily available, so sometimes I do not respond. Right? Because if something's available, you lose interest, right? It's about what's rare. Yes. You know, so that's the whole thing. You want something that's different, something unique. So then, therefore, he balances. So in other words, he knows when by reciprocating we would take things for granted, and when by not reciprocating that will increase. But it's by being in good association that we're able to go through. Now, who are the gopis associating with during this time? The other gopis, right? Who are all on this platform of prema. So, therefore, then, you know. So that's the importance, because even the new gopis, then, who may not have attained that position yet, then they, but the eternal associates, they have that prema. It's not going to be disturbed by this. So therefore, by that association, they maintain and come up. So we can see is that even in troubled times, then association is the main thing. Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
Uh-huh. So basically, over here in this particular pastime, Krishna responds or doesn't respond is just to teach the new gopis, you know?
Just to teach the new gopis. The old gopis, he had nothing to do with that.
Because they're all
gopis. They're all gopis. Like that, you know. So this is today's Shrutichari's, you know. So, you know, already means the other ones are all yesterday's Shrutichari's, so we're not caring about that, right? Means you have to always, in dealing with these things, you can point things out, but everybody has to stay in their perfectly pristine, elevated position. And then it's fine points within that. You know, like the Rasa Gadi Ma, Rasa Madhuri Ma. We didn't hear about, any verses so far. And this time about Rasa Mahima, the glories of Rasa, that would have been explained in other places. You know, we'll probably see that come up with Uddhava and those verses will come out. So there's all these kind of things. So we have to understand that they're in this perfectly wonderful position. And then all these are there. So in other words, if you're training somebody, do you train them, you know, in this academic environment that has nothing to do with reality, or do you train them in actual application of the activity? Application. So if it's application, that means then what the Shrutichari gopis and others are learning would be what would actually be the ways of dealing.
Yes.
So that means then Krishna is dealing with the eternal associates in the way he would naturally deal with them, and all the other gopis then coming along, seeing that, being in that association, seeing these pastimes, being involved in them, then would learn and come up to that standard.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So therefore, is then from that, is these pastimes just to train these gopis, and it's not about Krishna and the other gopis interacting. They do that on another day when the Shrutichari's are at home.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. So you always have to see their position and how wonderful their position is. Then from there, you have try to see and understand and appreciate. Then that's what you do.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because Gokul is a place about training, you know. And
yes, but training in what?
To love Krishna. Sorry.
Yes, and the activities are activities, so they're being trained in activities of where? They're being trained in activities from where? Of where?
Golok. Yeah.
So therefore, if you don't have the activities of Golok and Gokul, then how will they learn what the activities of Golok are?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So this is on the job training. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I say real rasa, real time.
Okay.
In the field, right? Or in the forest here.
You can say that apart from Krishna, for everybody else, it's a pretty lame excuse why he disappeared.
For everybody else, it's a lame excuse.
Yeah, because he wanted to increase their love more and more.
So that's not a good thing?
That's a good thing, but the means he used.
But is there some other means?
Maybe.
Such given. Please reveal.
You can do gifts. You can do some other
things. But how much will that increase?
little by little.
Yes, but here it's being increased in leaps and bounds. You are dealing with the unlimited person.
So that's my point.
Yes, and so do you want to take part in the unlimited person's unlimited pastimes with Radharani, who is unlimited?
I guess.
Then that's the whole point. We can take part. But therefore you have to have those qualities to appreciate. You know what I'm saying? Because we're not having the difficulties of establishing the identity and security that we have here. Because here it's like you want trying to get everything just right because there's nothing. Right? But there it's a matter of tasting what's already there. And so that taste can go more and more. You know, it's just like this. Okay, you sit down and, okay, do we have this scenario that the guy sits down, he's drinking something, and his friend comes along, he says, and he's pleased with him, he says, oh, that's not the thing to drink. And then he calls over and they bring something else to drink. So now, between that what he was drinking and that bottle what he brought out to drink, there's probably like 100 or 200 or 300 steps. So would it be more appropriate that he just brings it up one step at a time over, you know, a few years, or he just brings out this other bottle that's so much better? Yes, so that's what Krishna's doing. Because he says it's just like when you gain something of value that you've always wanted, and then you lose it, then you want it even more. So the amount that they wanted Krishna then is increased so much. So that, what does that mean? That means you control Krishna more. And therefore the reciprocation between you and Krishna is greater. So who gets the greatest benefit? Yes. Because the ashraya always tastes, the happiness tasted by the ashraya is actually greater than the vishraya. We think it should be the other way around. That's why we came here, to taste being the vishraya, and it's not working out so good, right? So that's the whole thing. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yes. So, in other words, interacting with Krishna is the best. And so then the deeper it is, the interaction, the better it is. So he's just, by this method, making it happen. But it is gradual, because this night takes a night of Brahma, so... No. No, you are worried about gradual. And so we're saying it is gradual. It's a whole night of Brahma to get to this point. So, you know, you're saying it's so sudden, you know, just within a, you know, few hours. No, this is taking a whole night of Brahma. But this part is not taking that long. The rasa dance, that'll take that long. But then they'll think that a kalpa is nothing. Or they'll take nothing as a kalpa. That's one of the symptoms of Mahabhava. Right? That's one of the things. It's where you know, a moment is like 12 years, or 12 years is like nothing. Yeah. Krishna, Sri Krishna concluded, I am not able to repay my debt for your spotless service, even within a lifetime of Brahma. Your connection with me is beyond reproach. You have worshipped me, cutting off all domestic ties, which are difficult to break. Therefore, please let your own glorious deeds be your compensation. In other words, the glorious deeds means that position of their affection for Krishna is the taste in that is the only compensation that is of any value. There's that love for Krishna and that taste that they have from that. That's the only compensation you can give for it, because there is no comparison. Does that work? In theory, I say. What do they say? Tough audience.
Some focus is there.
Okay. Yeah. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, you have this faultless unconditional relation, niravadya samyujam, with me, not depending on kama, karma, loka, dharma, or shastra. Your actions are naturally the most proper and excellent, svasadukrityam, not produced by contact with some other objects. So, kama, okay, we'll understand, karma, okay, loka, okay, dharma, we don't mind that because we don't like following that anyway. You know, but then shastra, then what, you know, so that means, oh, we don't have to follow shastra or dharma. You know, the point is it's just about Krishna. So they're not following shastra because they're supposed to do it. Right? Means what were the discussions before? Is that, why is this spontaneous higher than the opulence? Because they're recognizing he's God, they're dealing as if he's God. They understand that point. Well, here these village people are just not understanding that and just loving them anyway. So that's the point. It's not dependent on shastra or dharma or any of these things. It's just dependent upon their attraction to Krishna. So that's why it's highest. It means what they're doing is what shastra is recommending, is what dharma is defining. Right? But, you know, we're not seeing it for that purpose, so we just take shastra and dharma for our own purpose of karma and jnana. You know? Mm. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. So it's not that they're above this because it's from their actions and interaction with Krishna that the shastras define what they define. Okay. So, your actions are naturally the most proper and excellent, sva sadukrityam, not produced by contact with some other object. It's not that depending upon something else I'm doing this. Right? Out of duty I do this, or out of attachment I do this, or out of fear I do this, or the benefit I'll get from something else. No, it's just on its own. That's all it is. That's why it says it's completely independent. Yes.
So on the level of sadhana, it's something outside of our relationship with Krishna that stimulates that relationship.
Yes.
But then on the level of pure love, there's nothing outside. It's all internal bhav stimulate.
Yes.
You know,
it's the natural responses to that stimuli of Krishna. It means there's nothing outside. So they're not, means the aspects of the anubhavs and all that are not dependent upon the external environment. They're all because of Krishna.
Yeah.
They may be seeing the external environment connected to Krishna, just like the gopis were saying, is that, you know, they were very enthusiastic to see the forest because Krishna would be there. But then when he left them, then seeing the forest reminds them of him, and so then they feel the separation even more. So it's all just about him. So anything, you know, is just connected to him. So that's the perfection that they have. So there's no, in other words, raga is defined as that natural spontaneous attraction without the use of the intelligence. That's how Bhaktivinoda Thakur defines it. Right? So that means we don't have to go through the, you know, like all the second canto, you know, hoops that we go through, and so everything's Krishna, and so this is there, and I value this because of that, so that value, the actual essential thing is the quality that it has, that quality is Krishna, you know, and then that quality is then applied in these ways according to how Paramatma says, and so then ultimately we want to offer all that to Krishna, the person. So that's not rag. Right? You know, so that's using our intelligence, because our natural rag is material enjoyment. So therefore, we have to use the intellect to break that. So the intellect being higher than the mind, we control the mind through the intellect. But at some point, because devotional service being what it is, it's so joyfully performed. Therefore, the taste from it starts to put a doubt in the mind, or doubt in the, you know, in our consciousness of whether the material can give us anything. So we start seeing that the spiritual is there. Though we may maintain some. But with time, we start giving up more and more the material attachment and simply focus on the spiritual attachment. And then that's where it's, that's why we say it's beyond knowledge. It's not that there isn't a whole science here that they all know, but it's not dependent upon the science why they do that. It's not that, oh, according to the science, then, you know, I've seen this Udipan and that gives this Anubhava and that also then gives this, this, you know, secondary aspects of these Sanchari Bhavas and all that, and so I should do that like an actor. No, these just naturally happen. But knowing the science, you can appreciate what's happening in others. That's why the Acharyas then seeing what the verses are saying by the Anubhavas, they can tell who this is. This is Radharani. This is Lalita. This is like this. So they know the science, but it's not the science that makes it that they have that attraction to Krishna. They have a spontaneous attraction to Krishna, and they know that science. So that's the meaning of Sarva Dharma Parityaja. You give up all this just to please Krishna. That doesn't mean that you don't know all these things or practice all these things. It just means the impetus is not coming from the Shastra and the Dharma or our other, you know, attachments. Is that? So that's why Krishna's saying is that it's spotless service. Your connection with these is beyond reproach. Like that. That's why he's saying the only compensation is the bliss that you get in being on that platform. Because then they're so absorbed in Krishna that their experience of ecstasy then is beyond compare of anyone else. Because it means throughout the spiritual world, then that the position of prema, that's standard everywhere. It means anyone in the spiritual world is functioning on the platform of prema. Mm-hmm. Then, depending on rasas, this, that, then there'll be, you know, the higher elements, sneha and all these other aspects. But only the gopis then are tasting this mahabhav, or a few confidential cowherd boys who are privy to Krishna's pastimes with the gopis. So seeing Krishna engaged with the gopis and him being happy in that and them being confidential friends and knowing how much that means to him, they're also able to experience that. Because even in Dwarka, the queens can only get up to Anubhava just before Mahabhava. But that general Mahabhava, that's tasted by, like we said, those cowherd boys and all the gopis in the neutral and in the opposing groups. Only Radharani's group then tastes the next step up in the Mahabhava. And then only Radharani, then the topmost platform of Mahabhava.
So at this moment, we could experience catharsis just by being absorbed in the rasa, but it doesn't happen because of the jnana and
it doesn't happen because of our material attachments, yes. Yes. So, because of our attachments. It's like that story of the what do you call it? Wedding party, riding in the boat to go back to their village at night. Mm-hmm. And the boatman rowed all night, but the anchor was down. Mm-hmm. So because we maintain those anchors, that's what slows us down. But by hearing this, we get purified, so slowly we start to have less interest in, or they just go away. You know, in other words, if they're not major attachments, they just kind of disappear, and we don't even necessarily notice they disappeared. If someone brings it, oh yeah, you know, weren't you into this? And yeah, it was years ago. You know, so it just goes away. And then those that are much more stubborn, then we're more aware of them. So that's where we have to make that endeavor. Then Balaram being pleased, then he will take those away. So the advantage is there in that, but like you said, is it can be in a moment. It means literally a moment. Maharaj Katvanga, the gopis, the wives of the Brahmins. There's so many examples of those who came in contact and in a moment then fully surrendered. So it is possible. And then if that, Krishna says, you know, that's your first option. If that doesn't work, then follow sadhana bhakti. Right? So then we're following the sadhana bhakti. And then, but the point is that it can happen in a moment. So that moment that we do surrender and just let go of those attachments, like we see the gopis here, not worrying about all these different social things and that, then at that point, then Krishna will reveal.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the devotees, you know, who experience the rasa, they have already gained, you know, the science of tattva, you know, in their previous lives. And that's why now what is left for them is only experiencing the taste of that knowledge which they have gained.
Yes. Those devotees.
Pure devotees.
And so, and the point is, therefore, if this lifetime you gain all the knowledge, then you, then next life you can be on the spontaneous platform.
No, nothing like that.
Nothing like that. It means you don't want to be on the spontaneous life platform next life. You want to continue with Yan or...
Why next lifetime? Why not this lifetime?
But you said that it's only when you've gotten all that knowledge in last lifetime than this lifetime.
Yeah, but if... pure devotees are merciful, then it is possible in this lifetime also.
The pure devotees are merciful. Okay. So now what's the point?
Nothing. Just a...
nothing. Okay. It was just a comment.
Just
okay. So, yes, but the point is then what does that next life mean? You know what I'm saying? Does it have to be physically a change in body? Is it a change in mentality? Is it...
change in mentality.
Yes. So that's the main thing. So whether a bodily changes there or not, that's another, because we see the gopis, they're changing bodies, but at the same time they're not changing bodies.
Yeah, we mentioned about the two kinds of bodies. So
yes.
Yes.
So then, you know, so then they're taking the spiritual.
Yeah, that's
they're only absorbed in that platform. Mm-hmm. And their husbands get the material body.
Yeah.
Consolation products. Yes. Yes.
Yesterday in class you were talking about the demons.
Right? Yesterday in class. Today is what day?
Monday is Monday.
Monday. So you mean on Sunday?
Yes.
I see. Yesterday. I was talking about the demons.
Yes. In the spiritual world. And
oh, okay. Okay.
And, yeah.
what
and
demons are
you were saying how they were, their bodies are in, you know, could be in Vrindavan, but their consciousness is not
yes.
there.
Well, they're in a material body and material consciousness.
So they're not just there for Krishna's pleasure and his pastimes.
They're there because they're a demon. It is arranged by Yoga Maya, but why that living entity is taking part is because of his demoniac nature. Right? Jai and Vijay, now they're in a position where they're... That was arranged by the curse of the four Kumaras. But that's not your standard demon.
Right. So what is the? I guess it's a broad question, but the qualification that they are there.
And you want to know because?
I'm just trying to understand
if that would be an easier path than the one we're going to in this. You know, like that could just be a total demon, and then I can be in Krishna's pastime. Then they'll kill me, and I'll go back to Godhead. So and I don't have to sit here and listen to all this stuff. Right? Yeah, but can you guarantee you'll be that big of a demon? You know, I think that you have to get up to some. Yeah. So. I wouldn't worry about that. We're sadhakas, we have our path. They're demons, they have theirs. The point being made here to catch is just apply it to ourselves. We're here in the spiritual world. Mayapur is the spiritual world, but we're here in our material body. You know, I mean, the body we have is material. We've come here because of the spiritual pursuit. So there is that element of that spiritual consciousness, but at the same time as the we may function, you know, to some degree, or we may function on a degree more than we would like to be or admit that we are on the material platform. Does that make sense? So that's all being arranged by the Tathasta Shakti, that the spiritual and material can all be there at the same time. Even just the soul and the material body, that's arrangement of Tathasta Shakti. So we're seeing that this kind of arrangement is there. So the whole point is as I think Prabhupada was making the point, that the spiritual world is not, it's not about a location. It's about the consciousness. So therefore, if you're Krishna conscious, wherever you are is spiritual. And if you're not Krishna conscious, no matter where you are, it's material. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point to be gained there, is that, you know, all the residents of Vrindavan, they're all Krishna conscious. The demon is not Krishna conscious, and they're all there together.
That doesn't interfere with the Shrihasattva of the spiritual world.
Why would it bother? It doesn't bother the Brajvasis. Why would it bother them? Because the point is this, bothering means it would make them forget Krishna. But they never forget Krishna. So how can they... They're always in the spiritual world. Well, the demon, at least before he got killed, is never in the spiritual world. He may be physically there, but is that the spiritual world? The point is it's not the physical place that makes it the spiritual world. It's the consciousness that makes it the spiritual world. Right? Just like Mayapur. Why do we say this is the spiritual world? Right? Is Chicago conscious? You know, we're not talking about the 1950s, you know, how you say Chicago's been eaten by a giant tomato or something like that. You know, like that. Or, you know, the conspiracy theory that actually Chicago's conscious and it's slowly eating everybody. You know, no, we're not talking those kind of things. But is the Dom conscious? It's a person. So it's conscious, it's there, so it's the spiritual world. It's always absorbed in Krishna. While everywhere else in the world, they're a material place because it's unconscious, it's dead matter. Well, here it's not dead matter, it's all conscious. Prabhupada puts a thin layer so that we can think that it's dead matter. But in actuality, it's not.
So do we just say that, you know, somehow or other, these demons end up in the spiritual world?
Yeah, well, because they walked in. They were in a place that wasn't the spiritual world, and they walked in.
Well, then why can't we walk in?
You have walked in. Right? So, therefore, Yoga Maya allows them in because Krishna would like to interact with them. Right? And why? Just because of the interaction that's there with the Brajvasis. Because to kill these demons, he doesn't have to do it himself. Why does he have to be there and be, you know, coiled up in Kaliya and all that? He sits on the biggest, most powerful snake in the cosmos. I mean, you understand how big Anantasesha is for Karanodakshai Vishnu? You know what I'm saying? He's in one quarter of the cosmic creation, in one quarter of unlimited. Right? And that means Anantasesha will be the same size, if not a touch bigger, because he's got, you know, his neck and he has to make a few coils to make it comfortable. You know what I'm saying? So that is a big snake. Right? So then it's not that Kali is of any consequence. So it's just for the interaction with the devotees in Vrindavan that he is going to, he wants to take part in that pastime, so Yogamaya arranges it. Right? So these are positions that can be taken, these kind of mentalities, because we're thinking, no, I'm completely independent, I just do what I like. You do, but you do what you like within the modes of nature. And so therefore, all these different demons that come up, they're just standard demons. Standard mentality. All the people we hear about in history, these are standard positions. You know, maybe next Kali Yuga he'll be Henry the Seventh and a half. You know, like this. But the point is it's the same position, same fat guy, same six wives, same cut off heads, same stuff. that makes sense. Makes his own religion, becomes the head of it. You know, it's a mentality. You know, there may be some difference. Maybe he has seven wives or five wives or, you know, like that. You know, the first wife wasn't from Spain. She was from, you know, Italy or maybe from Germany, you know. You know, so then they didn't have to worry about the Spanish Armada. They had to worry about the German troops or something. You know, it's just that the principle is the same. Does that make sense? So like that, that's why it said there's nothing new. It's just chewing the chewed. It's already been there. It's already been done. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the... Yes? So like that. So then it's just Maya, Yoga Maya arranges it so that pastime happens like that. But it's not that these demons are internal potency and then, you know, like that. They're demons. Does that make sense? Does that work? Even living for the lifetime of the devas, I could not repay you with your deeds. The word krityam is in the singular in order to suggest that even one such action of the gopis can never be repaid. Right, so there's unlimited actions, but he's only saying in the singular, the saying even one of them can't be repaid, let alone all of them. I, however, am worshipping you without giving up affection for father, mother, brother, and friends. Right, so he's worshipping. He has this affection for everybody. Though I promise, yea yatamam prapadyam te, I have failed in this promise in regards to you, for I did not give up my father, mother, brother, and friends as you did. This meaning is obtained from the same phrase, sam vrichchama bhajan, as you gave up family. I did not respond in the same way. Right? Therefore, it is impossible for me to repay what you have done, because he can't do exactly what they did. Because as he'll reciprocate with everyone, then his mother and father and brothers and this and that, he's reciprocating with them. But they've given up everything to serve him. So that position then is so special that even Krishna is appreciating that. Therefore, let your own pure character be the payment. That is, your good character makes you forgive me for my fault. And that way I have no debt, but still I remain indebted to you. Right? So by their good character, they will forgive Krishna, and then he has no debt. Right? Debt's only there if you're not forgiven. So then, in this way, he has no debt, but it doesn't mean that Krishna, in his mind, is not eternally indebted. So this principle of where we're indebted to the Vaishnavas, right, eternally, then it's just a standard thing. Krishna's eternally indebted to the Vaishnavas, so we're only doing what Krishna does. So it's not a strange thing. So. Then the gopis began to consider in their minds, Though as the Supreme Lord, he is full of all qualities, though he is devoid of all faults, though he knows all about our love for him in order to establish our superiority, in order to make himself a debtor to us, he has performed this act of giving us up. We who wanted to defeat him and criticize for his conduct with our riddles have been most unvirtuous in intent, whereas he desired to establish our excellence. We can never be like that. We have finally been defeated by his prema. So they're thinking that they're defeated by Krishna. Krishna's pointing out he's defeated by them. So that's the whole point, because that's the power of this affection, is it controls the other one. Mm-hmm. Right? So he becomes their debtor, but then they see that they're defeated by his affection. Because he's simply trying to establish their superior position over all other devotees. Right? And so then he has done this, but they're thinking that you know, he didn't take care of us. So in this way, then they each are appreciating the other's position, right? Because without appreciation, how do you have rasa? Srila Prabhupada concludes in Krishna book. The exemplary character of devotional service manifested by the devotees of Vrindavan is the purest type of devotion. It is enjoined in authoritative shastras that devotional service must be ahaituki and aprikihata. This means that devotional service to Krishna cannot be checked by political or religious convention. The stage of devotional service is always transcendental. The gopis particularly show a pure devotional service towards Krishna, so much so that Krishna himself remained indebted to them. Lord Chaitanya thus said that the devotional service manifested by the gopis in Vrindavan excelled all other methods of approaching the Supreme Personality of God. So it's the best. There isn't any better than how the Braja gopis approached. So that's what Lord Chaitanya is offering, to have that surrender, have that appreciation that the gopis have for Krishna. Conclusion. The Lord perfectly reciprocates with his devotees. Although he left the gopis and thus caused them to experience the transcendental pain of separation, he did so only to increase their attachment for him. In this way, he established a superiority above all other devotees and even above him. Realizing the reason for his disappearance, intensified the gopis' love for him even more. That's what we're looking for. Yes?
Yes.
That one was perfect. Chapter 33, a rasa dance. So the punch of the pancha yad. Okay. So far we've survived. Pratigya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original speaker, follower, and guardian of mortal laws. Right? So just one thing is we see there is that the gopis, we can see many times they refer to him as the Supreme Person. Any glories they point out in him is as the Supreme Person. Any faults they point out is based on, you know, what he's supposed to do as the Supreme Person. So for him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not a problem. But that's not why they love him. That's the thing. Beyond Shastra, beyond religion, beyond philosophy, beyond other consideration, it's just he as a person is who they love. He's just so attractive to them. So we don't see this. I mean, this can't come up this many times in the other Vrajabhasis pastimes. It can come up, but then it'll be allayed like that. But for them, then they don't have that difficulty.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can we say about ourselves? First, we have to admit that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, and only then we can switch.
Switch means
to love him despite him being the Supreme Personality of God. Or it will never happen.
No, the point is that attraction to him is not dependent on any knowledge. So even if the gopis don't know he's the Supreme Person, they're attracted, and they do know they're attracted. So it's not dependent upon that. It's independent. For us, yes. Then the first thing we have to understand is he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because otherwise, in our mind, then. Who is the Supreme? We are. You know, like that. You know, so therefore we have to give up that concept and allow that, well, maybe I'm not Supreme. If I look at it really objectively, whatever I want done doesn't happen, whatever I, you know, like this and so many things, I'm not in control of anything, right? Right? You can't even really control when you're like going to burp or when you have an itch or something, you know, so, you know, how do you, you know. Like that. So then Krishna is then there. But he's control. You can see from whatever happens, he's controlling it. So then we have to accept that. And then we'll give up our control. Because then the problem, if we're not the controller, he's the controller. Then what's the next step?
Enjoy.
Yes. Is then I'm not the enjoyer, he's the enjoyer. And by accepting that, then we actually enjoy more than he enjoys. And when we think we're the Supreme Lord, we don't enjoy it all.
Yes.
Like that. You know, so. The Supreme Pratigya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the original speaker, follower, and guardian of moral laws. And that's the fun part, is this chapter, which is on the rasa dance, will establish that. Chapter 33 summarizes questions and answers. Prikin Maharaj asked Srila Sukadeva Goswami question 10:19 of Srimad Bhagavatam. from 10:33, 26 to 28. Frigamar said, O Brahmana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the universe, has descended to this earth along with its plenary portion to destroy irreligion and re-establish religious principles. Indeed, he is the original speaker, follower, and guardian of mortal laws. How then could he have violated them by touching other men's wives? O faithful upholder of vows, please destroy our doubt by explaining to us what purpose the self-satisfied Lord of the Yadus had in mind when he behaved so contemptibly. Srila Sukadeva Goswami answers this question throughout the rest of the chapter. Right? So why does he ask these questions? Does he have a problem? Mm-hmm. No. It's because in the audience he has so many, you know, sages and munis and people like that are going to be practicing their service based on Dharma and Shastra. Right? Not based on Krishna as a person. And so they may ask this, and so therefore it gets cleared.
We've heard that, you know, once the relationship is established, it's never going to change.
Yes.
And it seems to be working within material and spiritual as well. So although those sages, they're going to hear about, you know, the whole rasa dance and everything about Krishna, still they're fixed in their own relationship. So will it change it?
It means if they're sadhakas, then it can develop. But if they're already established on the platform of a relationship with Krishna, then no.
Because we see in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, they hear and they are aware of the glories of higher levels
right.
of devotion.
Yes.
Still, they never change their own.
No, because they've already attained their position of perfection. So therefore, as an individual, they're totally satisfied. But it doesn't mean you can't appreciate someone who's better at it. You know, it's just like you have a particular skill. But you can appreciate those that are better at that skill. But it doesn't change your position. You know, and being in a position with the Lord, it's always increasing. So it's always getting better and developing. But it's also, there's other czars, so they always stay in the same position, that they're always senior. So it's not a problem. That's why Hanuman is quite happy doing what he does. But it's not that he can't appreciate other devotees, what they do. Like, we may be doing one service. You know, let's say one's doing Sankirtan and he appreciates the pujaris, what they're doing. Or, you know, pujaris are doing that, they appreciate the cook, or someone appreciates the manager. It's different things. You can appreciate what they're doing, though you're satisfied in your position.
Achieve some position, and then we feel quite happy, satisfied.
Right.
But then, after some time, we don't feel that anymore, so we want to move forward.
That's because there's no satisfaction in the material world. It means you're dealing with dead matter, so it can't actually give you satisfaction. We've decided, we've said, oh, if I come to this position, I'll be happy. But that's already a compromise. In the material world, everything just gives trouble. Right? So there is actually no happiness in the material world. But we come to a compromise and agree that any time there's any removal of that pain, we'll call that happiness. So therefore, we've designated that this particular removal of pain, I'll call that happiness, I'll call that a goal, I'll call that success. But then after being there a while, it won't give satisfaction because it can't. Just like the previous position we're at, for many that would have been a goal. Right? So one guy just to have a job and a company, that would be a goal for him. But the guy who's got the job and the company, he wants to be a supervisor. And the supervisor wants to be, you know, just keeps on going. Like that. So it's just, we've defined it like that, and then with time you get bored of that because it's dead matter, it's nothing, it doesn't give any satisfaction anyway. So the spiritual world, because it's actually real, it's the soul proper dealing with Krishna and on the transcendental platform, then one's fully satisfied there. And so one is there, but at the same time you can appreciate others. Does that make sense? You know, like let's say a simple, you know, one is the residence of Vaikuntha. They're there on Dasya Ras. And Lakshmi is conjugal Ras. But do they have any problem that she's in conjugal Ras and they're in Dasya, or that she's superior and they're junior? No. Because that's the thing. They can appreciate her position. They can, so, but they're satisfied in their own position. Something to do with security?
Yes. They had talking on phone. Loudspeaker.
Huh?
In loudspeaker, they are speaking on phone.
Oh, it's not maybe one of the guards video. Speaking on the walkie-talkie.
Maybe on video. Nowadays, video is also kind
of okay. Is that? Yeah, so that's the point, is when one comes to one's natural position, one is fully satisfied. One doesn't. That's the meaning of eternal. And eternally you can be happy in that position. We're not used to that, because here, whatever position is there, it's temporary itself, and our satisfaction with it is temporary. Of course, the two don't seem to match, you know, means it runs out shorter than we want it to, or, you know, something like that. But in any case, so in other words, if it runs out, then, you know, what can you do? And if it doesn't run out, we get bored. So in any case, it's not going to work out. Does that make sense? You know, so we're not used to the idea that there is a position in which you can be eternally satisfied. So that relationship with Krishna, that we can be eternally satisfied with and appreciate others' positions.
A devotee mentioned that upgrading the rasa is possible, but
upgrading the rasa is possible.
Yeah,
upgrading, like that. So it means we're going, okay, you know, hey, Prabhu, you know, just how you say, Gopi 12.1.0 came out yesterday. Have you upgraded? You know, oh no, I'm still on 11. You know, 0.3.9.
Old version.
Yeah, the old version. You don't have all the new upgrades, and you know.
Like, if a particular devotee.
But what does that mean? Upgrade. What's the point?
Yeah, that's what I'm explaining. You know, that if they want upgradation in the rasa, then they need to compulsory come in Bharat Varsha, perform sadhana bhakti, and then they can go like from Dasya to maybe Vatsalya or Madhurya, wherever they want. You know, that is
this
what the explanation.
This is the best bang my head on the table one yet. And they're getting the evidence from this from Gopakumar. Where are they getting the evidence from? Where are they even getting this idea that something like that can happen? Yes, but what is Gopakumar's natural relationship with Krishna that we've known from the very first page of the book? So therefore, he's in all these situations that people are saying this is the best, but he's never satisfied. That's why he keeps moving up. But in doing that, what's the whole purpose of the story? To show what the best is. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what's the best realm? Braja. What's the best devotee? The gopis. So that's what the books are for. So it's not for how you can upgrade. Mm-hmm. Why? It means the cowherd boy gets, you know, sick of this, you know. I come out with Krishna every day to hang out with him, and then he goes off to the gopis every time. You know, he's with us, you know, one muhurta, and then he's off of the gopis for five. I mean, you know, this is not fair. I'm going back to, you know, Bharat Varsha, and I'm going to perform my sadhana, and I'm going to become a gopi. Is that what's going on? Is that what they're recommending? Or what are they talking about here? Where do these ideas come from? Where does the need to upgrade come from? Where does the terminology upgrade come from? Right?
From the IT industry.
Yes, from the IT industry. So therefore, there's a good chance that somebody from IIT said this. Right? You know, how you say? So it's just like you have the Chandogya Upanishad, I am that. So here it's I am it. No, the point is you perform your devotional service. By doing that, the heart becomes purified. One's natural position, one's natural relationship then naturally gets revealed. And this thing, but you know, can't we upgrade? What's the point? What's the need for thinking I can upgrade? Because then it's about ourselves, it's not about Krishna.
Sense of gratification for myself.
Yeah, it's just I'll get better, it's a better position, right? You know, like that. I can strut through Vrindavan, hey, I'm a gopi, you know, move out of the way. You know. Gopi, I'm walking here. You know, and then, you know, everybody else, Mother Jashoda and all that's got to move aside because, you know, here come the gopis. Right?
Yeah.
So the whole point is these things are just a waste of time. The point is if one does have a natural relationship with Krishna and one becomes attracted by a higher position than that relationship, you know, in sadhana bhakti, one can attain that. But once one has attained perfection, one doesn't change. Because if you're working on the eternal platform, there's no, you don't think like a materialist. You understand? But if in here, by associating, one may have had a different rasa, like one might have been born into a family that they're all Vaikunthawalas. You know, like that, like Baladev Vidyabhushan. But by hearing about Lord Chaitanya's mission, he becomes attracted. And then he takes up that pastime, right? Or their eternal associates who come down to take these roles and then do that. Then, you know, like Gopal Bhattacharya. Yeah, so that's another thing. But the point is whatever is the meditation in sadhana bhakti, that's what it's going to be in the spiritual world. Right? So if one doesn't know, don't worry about it. Perform your devotional service. It will happen. Just like, you know, does the 8-year-old girl, you know, say, you know, am I going to get attracted to boys today? It says, no. It says, you know, then when? Tomorrow? You know, it's just, don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? So, does that make sense? Yeah. So, these kind of discussions are useless, especially when they start getting so technical and using Shastric evidence to prove their mundane point, so.
It's something like the fall of Jiva, I mean, that is like
it's another way, yes, like that. It's another waste of time. Another round.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda Ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Singh. Like, did it work for Lakshmiji?
No.
Yeah, so then.